Okay. All right, a couple of things. I have I got some texts and emails from different people in Kashrus. So first of all, Jason's Breadcrumbs is owned by Manischewitz now. It used to be owned by a private person. Also, the small donuts, donut? So you said Rav Schechter said?
Rodelsky originally said that Rav Schechter disagreed, but then agreed again.
Okay. So yeah, someone just, Talmud Rav Belsky just texted me. Rav Belsky definitely holds that way. Definitely held that way, that the donut holds it all the Shulchan Malachim, not otherwise. Someone else, and then another fellow told me that by Dunkin' Donuts, there's no Jew turning on the deep fryer because there is no deep fryer. Meaning every donut shop, every major donut shop like the Dunkin' Donuts and the Krispy Kreme, it's fried somewhere else at a commissary somewhere, and then they ship them every morning. They bring, which I didn't realize that.
Krispy Kreme is.
What?
Krispy Kreme's on the spot.
It is?
Yesterday, the afternoon, they make a big deal. You see it going to the fryer.
That's probably just the baking after the fryer.
No, I mean, you watch them go flopping.
No, you see the whole process.
You
see
the waterfall of frosting.
Okay. So, all right. So I stand corrected. That's just what someone told me, and someone else pointed out, or the same person pointed out, that when you see donuts fried, they float, right? They don't really go deep into this. So is that really called deep frying, or is that like regular frying? I mean, is that Bishel?
Or are they fully immersed in the
donut? So I thought it's still deep frying because half the donut is immersed and then it flips, and the other half is totally immersed. It's not just that, you know, like frying is, there's a little bit of oil to give a little bit of flavor and to keep it from sticking to the pan. But deep frying, it's in it, right? So I think by a donut, it would still be considered deep frying. Right, so that was that. So a couple of, what else?
Did you rely on, getting Dunkin' Donuts, getting just a donut at a non-certified Dunkin' store? Because if some of them are kosher, you can assume all of them are kosher?
I don't think so. First of all, there are a lot of non-kosher products there, and once there are a lot of non-kosher products there, you know, you wouldn't know if kosher Dunkin' Donuts maybe doesn't allow a certain flavor, a certain type, or whatever. I don't know, you know, and what could be substituted for what? Maybe there are three things that they could use for icing on the, like it's just too complicated, too much to know. Right, you go to the Dunkin' Donuts, and you know, a kosher Dunkin' Donuts, you could order bacon, right? Because it's, and they'll tell you, they're required to tell the customers, by the way, it's not real bacon, you know. You'll be like, hello, you know, like I'm a beard, you know. So I don't know, I'd be uncomfortable with that. I'm a little more comfortable with, like, coffees and drinks and things like that, but I don't know, anything that's going to be fried and baked and whatever, I don't know, I'd be less, and there's more complicated ingredients, I don't know. Okay, now, where I don't remember where we left off. In the Shmos Yitzchak, he quotes, which is the same thing that quotes a lot of Pesachim from Rabbi Yashiv, Zichrona Levracha, right, we were talking about setting things on a timer and, you know, whether it's grama or what the, you know, whether that's enough Bishul Yisrael. So in Shvus Yitzchak, he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv that v'shamati me'agon Rabbi Yosef Shalom Yashiv Shlita, or Zatzal, da'adloka kanal al yidei sha'on lo mahani, that it doesn't work to light on a, to turn on the oven on a clock, mishum diyesh, on the Shabbos clock, mishum diyesh l'chalik mimasha metzinu de'ekilu ba'afiyas goi, in my Yisrael, he's a katan, or a filu rak hitel kisein lahecker, dahasim hatru mishum shenasa maisa lahecker, meaning that's a key word over there, that the Jew does something that's a hecker, that's clearly recognizable. Shay Yisrael mishtatech ve'esek ha'afiyah, ach behechen sha'on, shayyad le katan or b'chol yom e'elav, but I'm going to set a clock that's going to light the, turn on the ovens every day on their own. But when it's baking, it's just happening on its own. You just see the oven turns on, the guy does everything else. So lo nikri yad ha'Yisrael be'esek ha'afiyah v'lo mahani. Then the Jewish involvement is not nearly recognizable enough. It's not clear enough. Meaning, if nobody's doing anything, it's just a machine that does everything. So it's not pasakum. But that's not the way it is. It's not a machine that's doing everything. There's a person doing something. And the only person doing anything is the non-Jew. So even though the non-Jew's not turning on the oven, but the timer's turning on the oven, your involvement is necessary in order to create that hecker. And your involvement's not there if it's set up on a timer in advance. V'mafiyo shel goyim shatanur behem dolkim kol hashana v'ritzipus v'somchem al v'lokos yisol pam b'shana. And it's a hecker, or it's a paspalter. Or let's say you have a case where a Jew lights a pilot light. Once a year he goes in and he lights the pilot light. So or it's an oven that stays on always. So once a year he goes in and he lights the oven. And then that oven never turns off. A lot of the industrial ovens are made that way, to never turn off. That they're constantly in use, and they get lowered when they're not in use, but they never fully turn off because it takes too much to reheat it back up again. So it's not worth it to ever really be turned off. So if a Jew is the one that lights it once a year, so says Rabbi Yashar, that's not called a hecker. What about if you dial in in miadlikas hatanor al yedei chiyuv mispar telephone sheyafil chashmal, whatever, that's chashav hecker. Why? Because right away you're doing the maisa and it lights the oven. So even though you're not there, so what? Is there a shear of how far away you have to be? No, wherever you are, that's called a hecker, because then, you know, if it's not turning on, they'll call you up in the office, in the OU office, and they'll say, can you turn on our ovens for us? And you'll type it into the computer and it will turn on the oven. So they know exactly what's happening. But when nobody's doing anything, it's just like that on January 1st, there was a mashkiach there, and now is April 14th, you know, and the ovens are turning on. So you don't associate that back with the mashkiach. So that's what Rabbi Yashar thought. So he's medayik from the Shulchan Aruch and Siftes, that in order for the bread to be considered pas Yisrael, you need a hecker. Because that's why Shein Adabar Elios hecker, the Shulchan Aruch uses that lashon, shapasha lehem asura. So that's key, that there be a hecker. Rav Shechter commented once that he doesn't agree with that last point, that if the oven remains on, then the bread is going to be, I shouldn't say that last point. The idea that if the oven is on and remains on forever, that it's going to be permitted in indefinitely. You know, the Rama writes in Sefiud that if an oven was lit by a Jew and the flame extinguished and it didn't sit idle for more than 24 hours before it was relit by a non-Jew, then it's considered Pas Yisrael, even if this routine of the non-Jew lighting the fire without it sitting idle for 24 hours was repeated for a few days. So all the more so, if the fire was lit by a Jew and stayed on, that would be Pas Yisrael. So Shechter didn't think that that's a problem. At that point, that the oven stays on for a long period of time, that's called that it's not a hecker, because the Ramah says against that. The Ramah says that it could be days later, and as long as the fire didn't cool down. That's what Darkei Tshuva Paskins also.
There's no difference between days later and months later?
Yeah, so what's the gvul? What's the shear? Meaning,
it's why they're unlimited.
What?
Why they're unlimited and just say days?
That was the most practical case, where it's going to, as long as it hasn't been died down for 24 hours. But he's saying, even if it died down for less, it was off for less than 24 hours, and a non-Jew relights it. Even that's called, is there ain lack of hecker greater than that? I mean, the non-Jew's mom is doing everything in that case. They asked Rav Shechter that question when he went to speak at a Smichas Chaver thing, and he thought that Ramah should be understood, that you, if a Jew turned it on, so a Jew turned it on. I mean, it's really a question of how to understand hecker. Is it like there's a positive requirement of hecker, or is it that there are two ways to accomplish that and not be pasakum? Either the Jew does something significant, or the Jew does something insignificant that's recognizable. So when you actually turned on the fire, so that's pretty significant. That's a major thing. You heated the oven. That's huge in baking.
So he'd also be okay. Chef would also be okay with the timer.
With the timer, I didn't ask him, but Hashtos. But I didn't ask him. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. Yeah.
Right. Is there any room to argue that if a guy were to turn it on a timer, that would also be okay? Because it's so far removed. There's no curvy data.
And then who's putting it in the oven?
I mean, right, you're saying that it wouldn't be considered. consider.
Meaning, in order to, if a guy is doing everything that there is to be done, even if you were to argue that turning the timer on is a zero, which is hard to argue in the first place, it's not going to be. You can't have the guy doing everything. Rav Eliashiv holds that if a Jew turns on the oven by calling in and then dialing in a special code, so that's direct action, and that's Jew partaking in the baking, and that makes it pas Yisrael. But that's not called a grumma. The ignition is happening right away, so it's not a grumma. And in the OU, I think they do this. I think they call it the Shane system. There's a guy in Kashrus who's a bit of a mishugana, but he came up with this very good. I'm not saying that just for Lashon Hara, just in case you hear anything else from him. Don't always take it. Don't always trust what you hear. But he came up with this very good system, and that's what they use. Now, what about an electric oven where the fuse blew and the non-Jew turns the fuse back on? So the bread that you put in the oven is now going to be considered pasachim. So you have the bread in the oven, and you're looking in, and you see that. This could happen in your home. You put the bread in the oven and you see that the bread didn't bake, that it's just still dough, and then you realize that the power is cut to the oven, so you call an electrician, non-Jewish electrician comes and he fixes the fuse, and now all of a sudden the oven turns on, so without you doing anything. So the Ramaz, if you had said that if the oven was turned on by a Jew and didn't sit idle for 24 hours, bread's mutter, but according to the Aruch HaShulchan, everything is a fuse, is only b'diavad. So if you turned on the oven and then the non-Jew turns on the fuse while the oven is still hot from the previous baking, then certainly the bread is still considered pas Yisrael. By the way, this is the other point I wanted to make. Someone told me, Rabbi Moshe David Leibovitz, who works in Kashrus, told me, the author of Halachically Speaking, I don't know how many volumes he's up to now, 8, 9 or whatever, but he told me that he asked Rav Schechter once, he asked Rav Schechter once all these different shittos about what's pas Yisrael and what's not, right? Like Rabbi Heinemann holds of the glow plug, whatever they call it, that you just throw in a little light bulb into the oven, and then now it's adding heat. It's like a hashlachas kisev, and the OU doesn't hold of that. So he asked whether hashkachas should be more specific as to how it's pas Yisrael. Meaning, if the star K is going to write pas Yisrael, should they be writing pas Yisrael al yedei Rabbi Heinemann's glow plug? What about this makes it pas Yisrael? So Shachter thought that that's not at all necessary. Because he said, whenever you trust a hashkacha, you know that every hashkacha has their own policies, and you're trusting the policies of that hashkacha. So you know that Rabbi Heinemann has his own shittos, and he's entitled to them, because he's an Adam Gadol Ad Ma'od. So you know that's what you're buying into. Now, if they ask, obviously the hashkacha agency has to be forthcoming with the information. They shouldn't say, Rabbi Heinemann says good enough, so stop asking questions. No, they should obviously be forthcoming with that information. Okay, now in Oel Yaakov, he's Mechadesh, and even if the oven cooled down and the guy fixed the fuse, the bread is going to be mutter, because the non-Jew who turns on the fuse isn't having in mind to turn on the oven, he's having in mind to turn on the electricity. And this we're going to see in Bishul Akum, right? In the Halachos of Bishul Akum, if the Gemara says such a case, the Gemara says that if you light a swamp on fire and the whole swamp burns, and then you find some grasshoppers, big stories in Eretz Yisrael, everyone eating grasshoppers recently. So you find, right, you saw that? No? Yeah. So you find some grasshoppers that are now toasted to perfection, right? And you just put a little garlic and salt or whatever. So can you eat those grasshoppers? Or is it Bishul Akum? So the Gemara says it's not Bishul Akum, because he wasn't doing an act of Bishul, he was doing this larger thing of burning down the swamp. It happens to be, in his act of arson, he also cooked all the meat in your fridge or whatever. You know, so that's not called Bishul Akum. That's my the Shlomo Miller story that I was always amazed by, that I always like to say over, that Rav Shmuel Marcus told me. Rav Shmuel Marcus said that once he was in Toronto, there was a Shevar Brachos that I think it was the Shavuot Brachos, that they realized that they forgot to turn on the crock pot on the chalet. That was like the big chalet that they were having for the whole Shavuot Brachos for Shabbos day. And they didn't know what to do. It was already Friday night. They didn't know what to do. So you say do some sort of Amir La'akum or whatever. If it was Ben Ashmashos, maybe Yeshus to Shos. Yeah, but it's going to be Bishul Akum. Right? So what do you do? So Shlomo Miller said, what you should do is get a guy to turn off the fuse and turn off the electricity in the whole house. Once he does that, someone should, with their elbow, move it to the on position, move the dial to the on position, and then have the guy turn on the electricity in the house. And that's like lighting the swamp on fire, so it's not Bishalakam. On the spot, that's what he pulled out of his back pocket. Rabbi Marcus, everyone was very misspelled by that. That, like, we know the halacha of lighting the swamp on fire, but on the spot, to be able to say, you know, when in a tense situation, what do we do? That's where that was his etza. Okay, so it's a nice etza. So obviously, if pasachim is more kal than bishalachim, then we allow that by bishalachim. So the old Yaakov wanted to suggest that we would allow that with pasachim as well. So if there's a blackout in the city and a non-Jew turns the electricity back on, someone from Con Ed or LIPO or whatever turns the electricity back on, that does not make all the bread in the city paspalter, right? On the flip side, if the Jew turns on the electricity in the city, it doesn't make all the bread being baked in the city pas Yisrael, because the intention is to turn on all the electricity, not just to bake that bread. Now, I mentioned the Star K allows the light bulb, what they call the glow plug, which is essentially a light bulb. It's a huge kula. Rabbi Haim Paskin, that since today, the way ovens, think about what an oven looks like, an industrial oven that the Star K is dealing with. It's not like the oven in your kitchen. They have these tall racks that have wheels on the bottom that have trays, you know, that fit these huge trays, so they're like 15 trays from floor to ceiling of food on these racks. They wheel the rack into the oven. The oven's like a room. It's kemat chayv and mezuzah, right? It's a room, and it's not actually chayv, but it would burn the mezuzah right off. But it's a room. They bring the thing into the room. They close the oven. They put it on whatever 550 degrees. They come back an hour later. They shut the oven off. They wait an hour that it has cooling mechanisms, because if you have an oven that's been on, an industrial oven that's been on, and it's that huge, and you open the door when it's hot, the heat will blow right at you and it will knock you out cold, or hot, whatever. It'll knock you right out there on the spot. So there's safety mechanisms that it can't open up until the temperature goes below a certain level. So what do you do to do a Jewish participation in the cooking? Screw in a light bulb that adds heat. So the other hashgacha agents are like, come on, that's nothing. You're not adding any heat. There's no heat being added by that by screwing in a light bulb. So that's a huge controversy in the kashrus industry. But that's Rabbi Heinemann's hashlachas kisei, and that's what he said that it works. Rav Dov Feinstein, zechron levracha, did not like the kula because the whole idea, he was very into the idea that you need a hecker, and a light bulb is not a hecker at all. Which means when you throw in hashlachas kisei, you throw in a toothpick, so at least I'm adding firewood. When I turn on a light bulb is there for light, so it's not a hecker that you're really doing anything as far as the heat of the oven is concerned. In which case, maybe even if it provides substantial heat. I know in my oven at home, when the lights are on, you could warm up the food for Shabbos. With just the lights on. So my wife does. She just keeps the light on. She doesn't keep the oven on at all. Keeps the light on throughout Shabbos and puts all the food in before Shabbos. And by the time the Friday night meal comes, the food is all warm just from the light being on in the oven. In fact, when we first got the oven, she asked if she could warm up food Shabbos morning just with the light on, by putting it in the oven. Because you're not allowed to put food in the oven on Shabbos. Mexican Vashli, you're not allowed to put food in the oven on Shabbos to warm up, even if it's at a very low temperature. But if it's below Yatzoledes, then you're allowed to. Right? If it's below Yatzoledes, then it's a zero. Then it's nothing. Then it's not Mexican Vashli. So I said, is it Yatzoledes? So she said, it's not Yatzoledes. So I said, okay, so then you can do it. So for like months, she was heating up food that way. Then one time, I said, let me try. Let me open the oven. So I opened the oven, I put my hand down, put my hand off. It was way above Yatzoledes. It's for my hands. She was like, what are you talking about? She's like, touching it, putting her face on it. It's like, I don't feel anything. But women and men are wired differently in many ways. And this is one of them in terms of feeling need. But I was pretty convinced I was Yatzoledes. So we stopped doing that. But in that case, it's adding significant heat, like a reasonable amount of heat. So you could see that this would be a machlokas in the industry. Okay, moving along. There is one place where even Ashkenazim are marked by Pasvalter, which we already mentioned earlier. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Aleph Paskins Pasul Yisrael Shafa Ovi Kuchavim Below Chitui Yisrael Below Kisein Aser, Vasul Luzuni Lov Nicham, Dilmasil Luzuni Yisrael, the in Pises Alechem Mishnaim, Mutu Luzuni Lov Nicham. That Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Abdol belongs to a Jew, was baked by a non-Jew, that's Pas Akum, and it can't even be sold to a non-Jew, which is, a Chumra al Gabi Chumra. First of all, it's under Jewish ownership, but if it's a non-Jewish baker, that's going to be Pas Akum, and then it's so bad, you're not even allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. It's an extraordinary Chumra. Prima Gadim in Mishpat Zav, Simchat Zayin, explains that bread owned by a Jew but baked by a non-Jew is more chumra than pas palter because it's not shchiach, so there's no chayi nefesh. I mean, you have to realize we're mekel on pas palter because of the chayi nefesh element, but if you have a case that's so unusual, so then you're not going to say that that's a chayi nefesh situation. So the whole reason that Chazal permitted pas palter is chayi nefesh, it's so essential that you're going to be mekel when a guy is working for a Jewish bakery, so it's not so essential when the Jew owns the dough. That's how Prima Gadim understands. I mean, why would a Jew who owns a small bakery dafka give to a non-Jew to bake for him? Such a strange thing to do, such an unusual case that you don't have to pay attention to it, that you don't have to treat it like with any kula. So that's how the Prima Gadim understands, which you understand fits very nicely with Ramesha, right? What did Ramesha say? Ramesha gave a whole hesber as to why it is that we're more machmir by that than we are with a non-Jew that owns a bakery that has non-Jews working for him. Because Ramesha says, it's so unusual. Why would a Jewish bakery have non-Jewish people putting food in the oven? So it's such an unusual case. That's why we're so machmir. But let's say it's usual. Let's say it's a huge bakery, and the guy, the owner of the bakery, can't possibly handle it all himself. He's going to need employees. And like we said, for $10 an hour, you're not getting from Jews to wake up at 3 in the morning to go do the baking. So obviously it's going to be non-Jews that you need to work there. So that's where Ramesha has that kula, that this won't apply, that this halacha won't apply in that circumstance. So Shulchan Aruch also had said that you're not allowed to sell it for a Jew to sell that bread to a non-Jew because he's going to come to resell it to a Jew, but if you cut the bread in half, then you can sell it to a non-Jew, because Jews know that if bread is split into two pieces, that's a siman that it's pasakum. So the Aruch HaShulchan in Sifkan Chavtes just points out that doesn't mean that all sliced bread is asir. Sliced bread that you know is not pasakum is still not pasakum, because sometimes they just slice the bread for you. That's very common today. This whole halacha is somewhat common today. You have mashkiach doesn't turn on the oven in a Jewish-owned bakery. The bread is baked by a non-Jew all the time. So that lechora is a violation of pasakum because the dough is owned by a Jew, and you're not even allowed to sell it to a non-Jewish bakery unless you split the bread into two halves. So when you have a Jewish-owned bakery, this is and the employees are not Jewish. You need a Jew to turn the oven on or perform any of the three actions. You know, what are the three things that are critical in making bread in order for the bread to be pas Yisrael? If it's baked without Jewish intervention, then it's going to be us. It's worse than pas palter. Pas palter will make a lot, but Ashkenazim and Machmir over here. But again, that's where we have Ramesha's kula. Ramesha's kula could be relied upon that if it's such an operation where it's not really practical that the Jew who owns it is going to bake all the bread, so then there's room to be makele. So it turns out that if you go into a city that has two bakeries, one owned by a non-Jew and the workers are non-Jews, and one owned by a Jew and the workers are non-Jews, the better bakery, lechara, the one that has less potential problems, is the one owned by a non-Jew. If they have hashkacha, is the one owned by a non-Jew, because the dough that's owned by a Jew and baked by a non-Jew is never going to be mutter, unless there are no Jewish workers around, like in the case of Ramesha. Yeah.
Going back to the pre-Megadim svar about Chaye Nefesh, mm-hmm. I'm not understanding, meaning, why don't we say, well, donuts aren't Chaye Nefesh, so they weren't Gramego, but how do you decide?
When to make it subjective and when to just say it's across the board? I don't know. That's a good point. I was thinking the same thing. Not sure. Anyone have a good gather for that?
I was going to ask another question.
Okay.
You're just going off of the Prima Gadim. At what point do you consider it where it's unreachable? Like, where do you delineate between the Prima Gadim and Ramosha's Heter? Like, do I have to wake up a Jew at 3 a.m.? Or like, the owner has to wake up at 3 a.m. if he can pay a guy to do it for him that's a lot cheaper, that's a goy? Like, do you need to... Like, where do you take that?
Let's read Ramosha's Lashon. Ramosha's Lashon is ולכן בפס ישראל שלק הדוחק תיוכל לסחפו עולם ישראלים לא התירו. Meaning, you could just hire Jewish workers. Avon came to start with the commercial. I mean, Shaya Efshashia Yisrael Ophelim Korvelo Yechashiv Dogmitan Dai Bom Lomis Damin Zed Kolkach Im Tzorach Luskopolim Nami Efshalomis Damin Lopolim Yisrael Matlos. Sounds like it's pretty wide open, meaning, if it's not so easy, you know, it's not, they're not readily available. Vilachain, he's even more explicit. Ulai hu rak ba'ofen she'ein tzorach lepo'alim. Kagon v'shal balabai, she'yochu ba'atzmo lefels. Meaning, if it's such a tiny operation that you just need you, you don't need it. Once you have to hire workers, memela, then you fit into Ramesh's.
Oh, wow.
Because why would I not do it myself? And he said, that's all svara. Why would the Jew be maniach nakum to do it instead of doing it himself? So that's the whole.
So even if the Jew is just lazy or doesn't want to get up at that hour, and he's willing to.
Meaning if it's a small operation, he's just
small
operation. Then you don't have the heter. But it's got to be something where he says the paltur gadol shein yachol efos below palim. You need workers. Then ein b'zayis to be shulei akum yosu mipashal akum yeshal niyazai to lismach hazal the ma'isa. Kivin Shabbat and Achol like a shum tam the Divrei Torah. Okay, and he's used it to explain the Torah. Anything else?
Didn't Ramosha say that anything in a factory is not paltur anyways? So why here we're so.
Okay, let's say a larger bakery. Not a factory. Larger bakery. You know, a Krispy Kreme. I was going to say Dunkin' Donuts, but those are baked offsite. Something like that. Now the Shulchan Aruch in Sifu Gimel then goes on to say that mi she'enu nizr mipashal ovid k'chavim she'hesev etzel balabayis ha'nizr mipashal ovid k'chavim. So picture this case: I'm not careful about pasakum, and I'm a guest in someone's home, and my host is really from. He has a lot of chumras, and he's very machmir about paspaltim. V'al Shulchan pas Yisrael u'pashal ovid k'chavim hayof mishal Yisrael. And they put out both types of bread, and the better bread is pashal of chavim. Yivtza balabayis mina yotha umutu b'cholos is the pashal of chavim. What an unusual halacha, no? The balabayis should be mevater on his chumrah. He should be botzei on the pas akum, and that entire meal pas akum is not an inyan for him. He's totally fine. In honor of his guest, the balabayis can cut the pas akum, eat the pas akum for the whole meal. So it's interesting that the host has to have covered for the guest. Right, the Bach has a hard time with this. You know, there's a din only by pas, right? Certainly doesn't apply for other things. If you're makbid about chol avakum and your guest isn't, you can't just say, "Oh, I have a guest. Okay, get the Haggadahs out." You know, it doesn't work like that for any other area of halacha. So the Bach is quoted in this long taz over here, explaining the case differently. He says the case is that the owner of the food is the guest, not the host. Meaning, think about it. Why does the host have this food that he doesn't eat? He's makbid on pas akum, and he's serving pas akum at his table.
Save money.
Why would, meaning, the Bach says, come on, why would he wouldn't buy food that he wouldn't eat. So he says, Ke'enze, Pirish Mori Chamizal, Da Mordechai Marisha Balabayis, the Mordechai, which is the source of the Mechaber, he's not explaining the Mechaber, the Mordechai, that he's Marisha Balabayis, Yeshlo Etzlo, Ish Echad Bebeso Beschirus, Vochal Balabayis Imosa Socher, that there's this guy that rents a room in your house. You own a bed and breakfast. So there's a guy that rents a room. The balabayis is eating together with the balasuda, who's the socher. That's clearly not like the mechaber, right? It's an alternate explanation of the Rishonim that the mechaber is based on, but it's not the mechaber. So the other extreme, the Rav Yah, is quoted at the beginning of the Taz, that it has nothing to do with the guest at all. That this is a din b'tzia sapas. That you're supposed to be botzea on the superior bread. V'rayim Yerushalmi says, pas nekia tameo, pas kiber tahora, aleza mehen sheyirtza yivtza, that you could choose pas tameo if it's a better pas, than the coarse pas tameo, than the coarse pas tahora rather. B'kibet shotolotza, mutu b'kol sudukula. Once in dine b'tzia sapas, you're allowed to choose that bread, so then it's mutzvah the whole meal. Mishmur says even the mechaber is only speaking in the case where the balabayis is botzeya and distributes to everybody. But when it comes to the way we normally eat, you know, you go to a simcha, let's say, and they give a challah roll for each person. And we do normally eat this way on Shabbos, where the Baal HaBayis will say and distributes to everybody because of Lech HaMishnah. But very often, when you're eating in any other context, that doesn't really happen. So then there's no din that the Baal HaBayis is compromising his own minhag to conform to the guest. You're not being ochel from the same food anyway. So Prima Gadim adds that if you're Zoyer B'Pas Yisrael together neder, ironically, he says, then where you would never eat Pas Palter, then it becomes Nisa Doraisa, you can't be making. Meaning all of this is only if you have a Chumrah that you keep to not eat Pas Palter. But if you took neder to the extent that even when there was no Pas Yisrael available, you still wouldn't eat Pas Palter, so then a neder becomes a Dindaraisa, and then you can't be making on that either. So it's an unusual halacha, based in Rishonim, but the Taz has this long task to try to figure out whether there are alternate readings of the Rishonim other than what the Mechaber says.
Doesn't the Shach mention a Svar of Eva?
Yeah, that's the Svar, right. That's what the Mechaber is talking about.
So meaning, and that's why Rabbi was saying that, then why do you only apply to Pas Yisrael? It should be more expensive anytime there's Eva, so I could get away with my thing.
So the question is, maybe because Pas Palter is more Kal, so we're willing to compromise on that B'makom Eva. But the Shach is explaining the Mechaber. The Taz is, when he quotes the Bach, he's not explaining the Mechaber, he's explaining the Rishonim that the Mechaber is based on, but it's definitely not what the Mechaber is.
The Mishnah Berurah seems to be going with the Taz.
Seems to be going with the Taz.
That's not what your books say.
No, I think he's going with the Shach, meaning he's saying that there's no Eva if everyone's just eating their own food anyway. But if I'm going to make a show of it that, even though we're supposed to be sharing, I'm not going to eat the stuff that you're eating, because even if the protocol is that I'm Botzea and I share with everybody, but I'm going to say, oh, no, I'm too frum for this, so that's where there's going to be a sense of Eva. That's no. So that assumes like the Mechaber. In Sif Yedalud, Shulchan Aruch goes on, Kutach Shalak Mutter, Vein Choshen L'Pasol V'Chav M'Shabo, that the Kutach, which of course we mentioned with regard to Milchig, we mentioned with regard to Chametz, we mentioned with regard to Dabar Charif, right? Kutach comes up all the time. It's our favorite dip. So Kutach of a non-Jew is mutter, even though there are breadcrumbs inside of it, and those breadcrumbs are pas akum, and the Ramah explains. Why? V'chein kol makom, shenis arva pashal v'chavim b'shar machal, batal barov, bein belach, bein biyavish, avalos v'la'ariv k'dei l'achlov. Now you're not allowed to make a tarovis in order to eat it, but it's batal barov whenever it is. So, you're not allowed to intentionally be mevatel the pas akum. There were more mekel by pas to make sure that it's batel barov, either because al lechem yichya adam, right, which is the expression that the poskim like to use. Of course, it's a little bit taken out of context, right? Lo al lechem levado yichya adam. So if you take away the lo, it's al lechem. I mean, it only needs to be said because lechem is such a staple. So it's lo al lechem levado, but al lechem yichya adam, even if it's not levado. So it could be that that's why, so you need to make it available, or because it's an Isser Kal, it's an Isser Kal anyway, since it's Eini Karo Min HaTorah, meaning Pasachim is exerted, the Torah made up, it's not based on any Din D'Oraisa, it's a Mechashash of Chasnus that they had, but it's not based on the Din D'Oraisa. Big Nafkamina between the two reasons, would you say the same by Bishul Akum? Do you say Bishul Akum is Bat Berov? It's a Chaviyuj Nafkamina. If it's all about Alechim Yichya Adam, so you can't be Mekel by Bishul, because you're not going to say about Bishul Yichya Adam. It's not such a staple, but if it's about any Karim in HaTorah, so Bishul's also any Karim in HaTorah. So Shach and Simchat Chav Gimel points out that the Ramah, in his two other Svarim, right, he quotes B'Darkei Moshe U'B'Torah Chatas, right, the Ramah, both in Darkei Moshe and Torah Chatas, says that the same applies to Bishul Akum, that it does, right? Shach, maybe Yavish, Afilu Dabar Chashub, Kekas B'Darkei Moshe U'B'Torah Chatas, Shom Dinchas B'Shem Yisrael Dar Aruch, Israel called on the Zion called the Dean Mail of Oh, the Israel Hatter, he's quoting. That it's Shaykh Hatil Bibishuli of the Chav Mamish. That even if it's really Bishul Akum, we're still going to say the same thing. If you take a look at the Gra in Sifkat al Chav Tes, Ein, Bechule, Lechein, Bechule, Tilo Chamir Midmaid, Amin Bechul Vav Amrav Tel Gazru, Afil Vilach, the Alpha Mishish Lo Iker Minak Torah, Kolshken Kan, Kolshken Biyavish. So what's he saying? That it also seems to be saying that we're making the Zvein no Iker Min HaTorah, because he says the whole factor over here is Iker Min HaTorah, not Iker Min HaTorah. However, the Gra later on, where is it? I didn't write down where. I think there's another gra. Maybe in Kufiyat Gimel. I think there's another gra that seems to say not that way. Take a look in Kufiyat Gimel Sif Katan Mem in the Bira gra. Right, so this is going on Yesha Mashem Shrich, and this is on the very last Si'if of Kufiyat Gimel about Kalim, where the Bishalakim traces up Kalim. Right? So the Gra, Yeshom She'en Sarich, that you don't understand him Tzrich in the Hechsher, so says the Gra, Delo Shai Chasus B'chei Agavna. Meaning, even if a person may feel very close to somebody because they cooked them food, they're not going to feel very close to somebody because they ate food that was in a pot that was previously used for going to cook it. It's not Shai Chasus. L'chor Rai L'dvar, my Rai is in Kufi Beis of Yudal. What's the Raya? So the Kufi Beis of Yudalim. If by Pasakim we're going to say it's Bafel Barov, so by Bishalakim we're going to say the same thing. Avalesa, the Vipandish Oser Sham Sivva, Vikan Siv Gimel, Chenevi Arashva, Raya Mipandish Oser, Shoser Be, what is that abbreviation? What? Avalet Trumas? I don't know, why did I think this gras sound not that way? The gras sounds the same over here also, no? That it's that the same would apply to Bishalakim because it's saying no increment at Torah. Maybe just even the discussion. The Primogadim in Oschav Gimel in Sif Seda says that Afilu Bishalakim, he writes it out. If you look at you read in the Primogadim, like you have to, there's a lot of abbreviations in the Prima Gadim. Did they fix that in the newer prints? They used to, like, so some of them are weird ones that you don't have to see anywhere else. So you have like Beis Shin Ayin, and like you got to figure out that means not Bishulchan Aruch but Bishulakim, and then like a line later he'll write Beis Shin Nun, and that's Bishul Nachri, which is the same thing as Bishulakim, but he chose to write Bishulakim there just to confuse you. You know, like it's really difficult. So he says also it's Batul Barov according to the Ramah. So he asks Sarachiyun Dimkein Panda Shalakum, if you have a knish that has fats that should be mutter, even though the fats are aser, they should be Batul Barov when they absorb into the bread. So how come that's a problem of Bishalakum? So the answer is that Shuman is near of a Nikr Betochav, so it can't become Batul. But then the Prima Gadim says that even if the Shuman is Nikr, the Mechaber was Mekel with the Beitzim that was smeared on the bread, even though it's also Nikr, right? Well, we spoke about that, where you have the eggs that are smeared on top of the bread. So he says, no, the eggs were raw. They were never Bishul before they were connected to the bread. The fats become Aser Be'en and then get connected to the dough. Meaning the eggs, it all happens at one shot. In the end, though, it seems that he's Notza Lahachmir about this. About Bishul Akum not being Batul Barov in the Prima Gadim. But nevertheless, Shach is Mekel, and Mestama, that's the common practice. That's what the large majority of Poskim seem to assume. Fischichuv and Sivkanei says we don't say Chanan and Pasakum. Even Ashkenazim or Machmir, Chanan Bishari Surim, you're not going to say Chanan and Pasakum or Bishul Akum. So if you have pots that were Asur Mishum Bishul Akum, and you cook Bishul Yisrael in that pot, according to the Shach, the food's not going to become treif, you'll always have a rove. According to perhaps the Prima Gadim, you might have to say that it's trait. But generally, we're making on this this issue that it's Batul Barov, even if it's not. Okay. Question?
Yeah, I had two questions. Number one was, in general, is there a reason why, I mean, unless I don't know, Svardim aren't as machbid on Pasakim in general?
I don't know. I think maybe they are not. No?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I assume that they are.
Okay, and number two was if
a lot of the Sephardi Ashkachas, you have to be, people, Ashkenazim always assume that if it's a Sephardi Ashkacha, it means a lower standard. You should realize the Mechaber is much more Machmir than the Ramah in a lot of things. Pasakum, Bishlakum.
Got it, and then the other one was if you remove, for a separate reason, you can remove the Cheshasher into marriage. Right, let's say, I don't know, it's Lakewood. Why would
it
need
Pasisrael? Oh, it's a Gezerah. So Gezerah, Batel Tam, Gezerah is not going to become Batel. Gezerah is still applies. Now in Siftas Vav, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Mishin Isra Mipas Akum, mutar lechol b'ka'ara im misha einu nisu mimenu. Ve'afal pi shetam pasal b'chav misariv b'pas Yisrael einu choshesh. If you refrain from eating pas palter, you can eat together with someone who does eat pas palter, even if you're sharing the same plate. However, prima gadim, in the end of Sivkat and Hay, in Aruch Chaim, in Kuf Samaches, says that just like a person who's eating meat can't put milchig on the same table unless there's a hacker, so you shouldn't put pasakum on the table unless there's a hacker. Which seems to be directly against Shulchan, right? That's somewhat curious. Meaning, unless you say that he's saying, no, you make some sort of hacker, and then it becomes mutter, so that you'll know not to. Even if you're eating out of the same plate, you need a hacker. But it's odd that the Shulchan wouldn't say something like that, right? Now, finally, when it comes to pasakum, so again, there are three types of people. There are those who are machmir never to eat pasakum, not to eat pas palter, none of that, they only eat pas Yisrael. They always want to see pas Yisrael. Then there are people who eat pas palter when there is no Jewish baker around, that's the machmir, right? So it is what we were talking about before, that there are those bitoris neder, they never touch any of it, right? So that might be a din d'oraisa for them already, because it's bitoris neder. Then there are those who only eat pas palter when there's no Jewish baker around, that's the pasak of the machmir. Then there are those who eat from pas palter, even if there is a Jewish baker around. And that's, of course, the Rambam. So the Rambam in Siftas Vav teaches us, Yesh Omrim, to me, Shanizar mi pas shalov k'chavim, va'och l'machayim she'en nimsarim, mutar lechol imayim mishum eva k'tata, hol vim lo yochol imayim pas shu ikra suda yitir lo mishum eva, ve'elom l'mikal nashar isurim. But you can't apply this to other isurim. So this is what we alluded to before. If you're machmir never to eat pas akum, but you're eating with people who are eating pas palter, you can eat with them because of Eva. And the Rama adds that that's only with Pas Akum, because the focus of the meal is the bread. And if you don't join them, that's going to cause all sorts of fighting. The Kula of Eva, by other things, is not going to work. Or, you have a case, let's say, like the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Gimel, you're machmir only to eat pas Yisrael, you're hosting a meal with people who are not machmir. So again, it's the same halacha. And again, the shach over there, the chafalv also said because of Eva, it's all the same idea. Meaning logically, when many people are mekel and you're more machmir, that's something that naturally would cause Eva. But if you have two people, it wouldn't necessarily cause Eva, just two different people. So when it's one and one, the kula is only for the botzeah. But if it's stam, two people eating together without one being the botzeah, then for the other guy, we wouldn't be, without one being botzeah on behalf of the other fellow, then we're not going to be makel just in a one-on-one situation. So this Rama is when there's no botzeah. I mean, what's the Rama adding that we didn't already have in the Mechaber earlier? Right? We already said that the balabais could conform to whatever the guest is doing. So no, that halacha is a case where there's a botzeah. So as a botzea, you're not going to eat what he's eating, that's going to cause Eva, because there's an understanding that you're having a meal together. So what the Rama's adding over here is that ochel im acherim, not im acher. If you're just eating together with another person and there's no botzea, so then you're not allowed to conform to what he's doing. But if you're eating with a whole group of people and the entire group is not careful about something and you are careful about it, so that's going to cause Eva. So that's l'chora what's happening in this Rama that's different than what we saw earlier in the Mechaber. But it's all based on the sense of Eva, and it's based on the same basic rules. It's just what the expectation is. So when it's one guy and one guy, there's not going to be a sense of Eva unless one of them is botzeah for the other. Now what about outside of it? What if you keep a certain level of kashrus and you end up in a house where they buy at a lower level of kashrus? So are you allowed to eat with them? Someone asked Rav Shachta this, right? Was that in a public forum? Where they asked Rav Shachta, can you go to relatives in Israel, let's say, who keep a level of kashrus that you're not comfortable with? Was it publicly?
The Q&A.
Oh, it was in my shul. Oh, yeah. So he said, no, you can't go. You can't eat. That it's a lower level of kashrus. You don't trust it. So then you shouldn't be allowed to eat there. So. Is that so pashut? So it really depends, l'chora, on what we mean that you don't trust it. Meaning, what do we mean that it's a lower level of kashrus? So in there's a tshuva sefer called the Rashta v'Chakarta. It's So the Chelo Gimel Yerder Siman David, he writes that he had a case where an almana prepared a yahrzeit suda for her husband, for a deceased husband, and his whole family was coming, meaning it was a second marriage, I guess, so all of his children were not her children, and they were all coming for a yahrzeit suda that this almana prepared. And she relies on a certain ashkacha that the rest of the family, that his children, do not rely on. So are they allowed to participate in the suda? If they don't eat, it will be very clear that they're not eating, and it will upset her a great deal. So he says, "Val af shesham siyem haramah de'ein l'mon mikam l'shari sudin." I, the Rama writes over here, this is only din pasakun. This doesn't apply anywhere else. Nielin nistaiti dafka l'shar isurin ein l'mon. Aval l'shar gitarim usiyagin shabri yesh l'mon mikay. Well, because for shach sham simkar chavav, the dafka bepas ika eva mishum shala lechem yichya adam. Aval shar ma'alachem shakam anash menim te'ev lehem. Like Eva, Mishum da kol tali de Eva. It's all about Eva. So he says, "Do you have Eva over here?" Menidin v'dan. Kivin shapashut shalmana titzta'ir ma'od kishiyimnu milechal ma'achalea ksherin va'otivka b'zeh she'nim sochem al kishrusa. She'll be upset that nobody's eating the whole soup that she prepared, and she'll be insulted that she's not kosher enough. Havlik pasakum shemotalechal kol soup. He says, then it hasn't been a pasakum. So he's really saying two svaris. Saying, first of all, there are no isurim involved over here. This is just your own chumras and kashrus. And second story, he says, what distinguishes Pas from everything else? What distinguishes Pas from everything else is because of Eva. It happens to be that since Pas is such a staple, so it becomes Eva. Well, an Alman is going to be a sense of Eva as well.
Just a tie on his Rai from the Rama, you'd be Medai from the Sefer, that's Shari Surim, but not Shari Dar. You could be Medai from the Reshta, that's Dafka Pas, you would pick your Hasuda and Itirim.
Well, he's saying on both of those things.
But
he's saying there are two reasons. You need, in order to be Mekel, you need it to be that it be something critical, like Pas, because that's going to create Eva, right?
Critical or the Tikkur HaSuda? Seems unique to Pas from the Risha.
Meaning you're saying Tikkur HaSuda is not just a way of saying Eva. I think that's what he's understanding. When the Rama says that it's Ikra Suda, he's making the case for Eva. That's why it's going to be Eva, because it's the Ikra Suda. So it's one thing, you don't eat one of the side dishes, but you don't eat the Ikra Suda, so that's going to create a sense of Eva. Plus, it's unclear nowadays, how much bread do we eat already? Right? Nowadays, it's not really the Ikra Suda. The Bishul is really the Ikra Suda. So maybe you'd have Eva over there? I don't know. There's also a discussion whether you have to inform your guests that the bread is pas paltu, even if you know that some of them are makbid to only eat pas Yisrael. What would be the svara not to inform them? What would be the svara? Whole gzer is only mishum chasnus. They just know that they're eating your bread. They don't know what the bread is. So it's not gonna, if they have no knowledge, then it's not going to be a chashash chasnus. So he doesn't know that bread was made by a non-Jew, so there's no chashash. But then you might as well abolish all the pasakim, because any Jew could buy or receive bread from a non-Jew and then just sell it to another Jew, and then, you know, like, they make zeros. You know, so l'chora, you should have to tell them. They said that they asked Shteinman this. And Shteinman said, of course you have to tell them. He quoted the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, in the Tafresh Gimel Sif Aleph, that even someone who's not Nisar, Mipashal Goyim, B'Kol Hashanah, Basar Sinei Tshuva, he has to be Nisar. Meaning that's a mitzvah chasidus, not to eat Pas Paltu during Basar Sinei Tshuva. So it sounds like De'eino Isar D'Rabbanan, Rak Gzeira, De'ma Yisar Mamish, Mashayich Lahadish L'Alach Basar Sinei Tshuva. So if Chazal made the gzera that bread is inherently forbidden, so then it's Nisr Chefza, then of course he'd have to tell you yes. But maybe if the gzera is only Nisr Gavra, don't eat the bread lest you come to marry them, then maybe there's an argument to make the other way, that it's not really a din in the bread itself, so it's only a din in the Chashash Chasnus. But Lechara, most people say not like that. You should definitely tell the guests. He would, and if he were to find out later, he'd be very upset, and that would obviously cause an even greater sense of Eva. Okay, so that's it for Pas Akum Bez Hashem. Tomorrow we will start Kuf Yud Gimel, the Dinam of Bishul Akum. So obviously start with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and we'll go from there. So, yeah, I can't say yet how long it will take us to go through Bishlachim, probably about the same amount of time it took us to go through Pasachim, something like that. Okay.
Yeah,
sure, regular time. Oh, sure, not. What are they doing tomorrow? They're doing the thing with me. Oh, Rosh Hashanah is speaking at 11.
Rebbe speaking at 3.
Right. Shai, you let me know.